Welcome to the K1's Charitable Hearts Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor.
And I'm the co-host, Colin.
Today, we have a very special guest coming on our show. His name is Chris, and I'll let you do the introduction.
I met Chris, probably 4 years ago. I was starting my first business. We made an acquaintance. He works at a bank, and I was trying to get a loan, and we kind of started talking a little bit about life story, and there were so many coincidences that it was just some paralleled just to have met somebody that had been through the same kind of background. I have gone through culinary school and dropped out of it, but you had went through culinary school and completed it, and then I was in school for business at the time, and you had finished part of your business degree, and you were working at a bank, and you kind of told me that with that degree you can pretty much work at a bank or do a few other odd and end things. And I realized, you know, hey, I don't really want to do any of those either. It was a pleasure to meet you, and then we became pretty good friends over the course. I mean, off and on, just getting to talk to each other every once in a while. And also the reality of right around that time frame of having meet you, I surrendered my life to ministry, and you talking about that's also what you are doing, and that the parallels were uncanny. I mean, there's no way to describe that, and I'm just glad that we're able to almost bring it full circle here with having you on the podcast to start this too, because I know your passion and your enthusiasm for Christ is something that's unparalleled. I strive to be more like you. So, I mean, it's nice to have met somebody like you to have that outline factor that I can look to.
Hey, it's a pleasure being with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. I'm a little nervous, but excited at the same time.
We're nervous too.
Yeah. Yeah, step out of your comfort zone sometimes.
Exactly. Like Colin said, 4 years ago, he came to my office and talked about starting the business and the business accounting, and we just kind of got off topic and was talking more about God, honestly, and things we've been through in life. And it was definitely divine and ordained by God that day that we met each other, because it was awesome experience. We talked maybe like, what, hour and a half?
Yeah, for sure.
And it was just a pleasant conversation. And that day we exchanged numbers and been communicating ever since then.
There's times where we probably should have been communicating more, but you know, that's just life, you know, have things going on and stuff like that.
So tell us a little bit about your t-shirt collection and what led you to start it.
Yes, about almost, what is it, been about 7-8 months now. I was in church on a Sunday evening, actually, and the word was going forth, and as they were preaching, the Lord spoke to me and said, Elohim, he said, start a t-shirt line. And I was like, what? Because I don't even wear t-shirts. You know, I'm a shirt, tie, suit, jacket, pants type guy. And I was like, God, a t-shirt line, that's not me. And so I went home and I meditated on it a little more, and he started to deal me about why he wanted me to, because the world, as we see it, is suffering from what we call identity crisis. In fact, that we don't really know who we are in Christ. And he gave me the scripture, Genesis 1:26, that we were created in his image, and that there's nothing that we can't defeat or conquer because of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. And my life has not been easy. I've been through a lot, not just me, my wife and I have been through a lot together. And for the last past, 6 years, we've been from one place to another, moving, transitioning. We've been homeless actually for a year now, living with my sister. But I've gained a lot of peace from that, because God has shown me that through the adversity and the trials and errors that we've been through in life, he's still God. And it doesn't matter what we are facing in life, he's still God and he's always sovereign. And I'm so grateful that I had to experience those things to build my faith, to trust him, that even if it doesn't look like, he still did it. He brought me out of every situation, every dark situation, every situation that I felt like I was losing. I still conquered it, because I'm still standing and I'm still going strong in the Lord. So I'm so faithful that I was obedient and I did what God told me, do not start the t-shirt line, because some of us, we have to know who we are in Christ. Your situation does not define who you are. It's not your conclusion, but it's the beginning of something great, because he that started the work will finish it. And so we cannot let our situation or our struggle or our past define who we are in Christ. Exactly. And so my brand is to represent and to remind you every day that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It does not matter what the world says or society says, but you are something special. You are great, because you were created in his image.
Yep. It goes exactly like I was telling you just a minute ago. We stayed after church talking to our pastor, and we were talking about that. You know, it's like the past circumstances do not define who we are. You know, exactly. But the past circumstances, in a sense, define our purpose, because what we've gone through, we use it to help others, and it's such a key factor in my life. And someday I plan to elaborate more on this podcast, and also just in person with people about, you know, my past difficulties and the things that I've been through, and it's all for the greater good. Like I was telling them earlier that you know, I find joy in the hard times because I know that God's going to use it for something better.
Yes.
And it's a hard place to come to that. And even at my age to come to that, I mean, I'm thankful, because I couldn't imagine going through the rest of my life sitting there whenever hard times hit and then not knowing where to go or where to turn.
Amen.
And it's helpful.
You said you went to culinary school.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about what kind of led you into that career choice?
Sure. And then actually, I was my senior year, I was playing football, and I actually did a competition in Providence, Rhode Island, where I won a full scholarship. And I also had the opportunity to do a scholarship at a school in Chicago for football. My dad, it's always been my dad's passion that I make it to pro NFL. That was my plan. That was his plan. Like, you're going to pros.
You look like you could. You make the cut.
Actually, I was pretty good. I got a scholarship, as I mentioned earlier, to a school in Chicago, a Division II-A school. But my mom, who I'm a mama's boy, all right, she was like, "Son, Chicago is too far. I can't just get in the car and come get you. Something happened." So I ended up going to school in North Miami. I did pretty well at cooking. My grandmother actually taught me how to cook since I was like 12 years old. Been cooking since then. I really didn't have a passion for cooking. I was just good at it. So I ended up going to Johnson & Wales because my mom said Chicago was just out of the picture. It was too far. My dad did not agree with that decision, but he had to live with it. So I went to school in Miami. I finished in 2.5 years, got my degree. And that's when after finishing college, I got offered a position as a sous chef at the Marriott in Marco Island, Florida. I loved it, but I didn't like the fact that it was such a demanding job.
Yes.
When I leave for work, it was dark. When I came home, it was dark.
That's the reason I left culinary school, because I realized it's nights, holidays, and weekends for majority of my career, and I wanted to have a family someday. So I realized then I can have a passion for cooking and love to cook, but you don't have to do it for a living. You know, and there's a book that I got that says cooking is an act of love. And you're either you love to cook or you love who you're cooking for. I realized that, you know, I don't have to be in this school and I don't have to work in this career line to enjoy it.
Exactly.
I can kind of allude to that too, because I went to school. I had the dream since I was in second grade. I want to be a game warden. And then I found out they're working every holiday and weekend. So I was like, you know, so it's kind of comparable, parallels in that too. And you said you also went to a business degree?
Actually, yeah. So when I finished culinary school, I did the full year at the Marriott in Naples. I came home. Actually, unfortunately, my dad got really sick. He had to have a major surgery, so I came home to be with him. Decided to go back to school, so I went to Santa Fe College for like 3 years studying business administration. But I got offered a really good job, making a lot of money at a young age. I was single, so I kind of just put the degree on the back burner because I was living a life. You know, I was young, making good money, single, enjoying life. At the time, the Lord had got hope to me. And I was in church, but I wasn't sold out to Him. So I was just enjoying life, you know. And I actually then went back. I want to go back and finish. So just a year. So someday I would be granted the opportunity to go back and finish my degree in business. But yeah.
And you brought your wife with you?
Yes,
you
want to introduce her? Wife. Yeah, my wife. Our anniversary was yesterday.
Oh, wow.
6 years. Thank you. My wife, LaShonda Johnson, also a co-owner of Heat Collection. Lovely, sweet woman. I met her at a church back home, actually, that I was just up under watch care because my ministry had moved to Tennessee. I didn't come at the time because I didn't feel like the Lord was telling me to come to Tennessee. I had just got out of a real bad relationship. My ex-girlfriend, her name was Brittany. That's when I really went under, because I don't mind saying this over there, but she slept with my uncle, and it was very devastating to me. And at the time, that's when I really had to seek God, because I trusted this individual. I told him everything about my life, my relationship. He was giving me advice on how to be better as a man of God. Yet, this is the man that stepped on my girlfriend for 5 years, you know, and so my trust was broken. I felt betrayed. And so that's when I really started seeking God like never before, because I knew there was an inner peace that I was seeking for, because I was damaged. And I wasn't looking for a relationship. I was just focused on God. And one day my aunt was like, you should invite this young lady over for dinner. I was like, she's like a little girl. She's like 13. Turned out she's older than me, actually. And so it just happened. We went to lunch, and we just became really good friends. And then I told her I was going to Tennessee. I think we were dating for like 2 months. And she was like, okay, well, nice meeting you. And she texted me 2 weeks later. And she was like, I'm going to Tennessee. Is she crazy? I've just been known her like a couple of months, and she's going to follow me. And so she's here, and a year later, we got married.
Wow.
That's our story.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. That's nice. It's crazy how God can use certain instances like that, and like very emotional impacts to get you going. I experienced something like that myself. And that point from there is like, it's just something that really affirms, you know, your belief. And there's just a feeling that happens. And that's kind of, I want to attribute, you know, towards this process, is after that, I just put all my faith in him. If he's telling me to do something, I'm going to do it. And it's got nothing.
I can attest to that, because, I mean, I seen the struggles that you were dealing with. I mean, that's pretty close to the time that you were just getting done with college, and we kind of got back close to being good friends, you know, since high school. And it was just a few years ago, and you could see the mental torture you were going through with the situation. But
it's crazy when you put your faith in God and said, hey, I'm fed up. And I wasn't looking for a relationship really either. And he just threw it in my hands.
Wow.
And she's very supportive of my dreams. And it's her input into all this, into some of the designs. It's just, it's amazing.
It is.
So I'm just, it's awesome, because there's so many interlying facts in our story. That's just, it's, I don't know. Whenever.
There's no way to attest to it other than God.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not. This goes back to how our stories parallel to each other so well, and how it's not just coincidence. There's no way this is just coincidence.
Oh, no.
You know, us meeting even 4 years ago, and then to me not having spoke to you and probably, well, I mean, other than texting you or stuff, if I had a problem with, like, you know, something with my bank account or something. But we hadn't really, you know, talked as a friendship in that sense in probably over a year. And I just, one day I was in the bank and I was making some deposits for my business. And then I look over and see you're in the office. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go talk to Chris. I ain't talked to him in a while. And Taylor's sitting out in the truck. We get in there and we talk briefly about anything related to, you know, the bank or anything like that. And then we start digging, you know, how you been, what you got going on and all that. Start digging into that. And you say that, hey, we got this clothing line. And I'm like, Just hold up. I got to get Taylor in here. So I text Taylor. I'm like, just turn the truck off and come on in here, because you're not about to believe this. And Taylor comes in, and I'm like, or I tell Chris, I'm like, just say what you just said to me before he came in here. And he starts telling you, and I'm like,
I think I instantly got chills.
Yeah, I was like, do you see what's going on right here? This doesn't even.
Yeah.
I couldn't put it to words, because I remember. We were on the back burner. We started the year with, we got to find a way to fund this project that we're doing with this podcast, but we also want to find a way that we can fund it and also have a giving aspect to it. So that's where we started with the t-shirts, and we started a company where we manufacture t-shirts, and it's still in the works. But having met you, just, or not met, but I don't know what the word would be.
Reconnecting,
with you in that time frame of probably 2 weeks after we decided for sure it is shirts that we're going to do. And then we walk into your office and you say you're doing that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just another link where there's just uncanny parallel factors that you can't attest to anything but God.
And we knew we were going to start this this podcast, and once we heard that your mission statement and like your vision for your t-shirt line, we knew you got to be our first episode. Wow. Yeah. As we sat there talking to you, and the chills that you get, and then the knowledge that you have for the word, and we were just, we've got to have him on, not just once, but several times. Yeah. Because we know, like, there's the purpose for people like you. There's a high need for him right now. It's not just, you know, your knowledge, but your support that you have for other people and for your peers and for young men like us who are just trying to find our way in life. Yes. Just having someone to look up towards, you know, like you. And
you're giving me chills now.
It's kind of something like you said that whenever we're in your office, is you get chills whenever, you know, if you want to talk about that. Because
I do. God is relational.
Yes.
He is. It's all about relationship. And how can you love God and not love his people? And when I meet people like you guys, and I see that you're thriving and you're thirsty for more of him, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, his love, it does something to me. Because at one point in my life, I was lost. And I told God, I said, look, if you bring me out of this, as a servant and as a son of God, I'm going to go back and get everybody that I can. Because I know how it is to be without. I know how it is to be lonely, to be depressed, to not feel loved. And so my vision is, even as a servant unto the Most High, is God, that help me to help your people. Always show me how to love them beyond what I see with my natural eyes. Because we all carry something so great inside of us. It just need love to help me to inspire it and to bring it out. Because we go through things in life, and what we do is we start to identify with those things that we're faced with life. But that's not who we are. And so when I just tell God, just every day I just tell him thank you and I appreciate it. And just by telling him how good he is and how great he is, I begin to get chills, because he is a great God. Mm-hmm. He's been good to me that I can be to my own self. And I'm just so grateful for the relationship that I have with him, that he can show me how to love his people just like I love him. Mm-hmm. And I love him, man. I love him so much. I'm not perfect, but every day I strive to be more like Christ.
It's, I had this thought yesterday because I was listening to like another little insert or something, but it goes along with what you said at the very beginning of that, how you want to go back and get people.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think that we lived in like the first stage of hell here on earth, like this was like the devil's playing ground. But I come to the realization that we're living on the stairway to heaven. It's not my fault people are trying to tear it down. You know, it's my job to keep repairing the structure and keep climbing until I transcend to heaven, you know, is to bring people with me and take them with me. You
exactly.
Know? You know, I like the shift in perspective I had just even yesterday, you know, that, you know, I thought that we were just probably in like the worst of times, but really we're in the best. You just, it's just how you see it, you know.
Exactly. Perception.
Yep.
Faith.
Yeah.
This is the hour that man must truly walk by faith, because without it, it's impossible to please him. Faith is our access to the spirit realm. You gotta realize that. Because what we can see is not really real, but what we can't see, that's what's real. Because we are procreators. We come from creation. Elohim, that's how it is. In the beginning, God said, let us make man. The Bible was speaking about Elohim. In Hebrew, that means creation, God. And so we are procreators. So we have the ability to speak to the atmosphere and watch it manifest. These that I speak are either life or death. So I speak life every day over me. I am healed. I am blessed. I am a conqueror. I am victorious. Even if my right now is not. But I'm speaking it into my now until it manifests. So every day I speak to my situation, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm victorious. You see? And so as I speak that, I speak life and I watch it manifest by faith. And God will honor that word. Yes. Because he honored his word above his name.
It's a man is what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it, is whatever thoughts you bring into your mind, whether it's positive or negative, that is what you're going to become.
So is a man thinking.
Yep.
So is he. That's the word, amen.
That's kind of led up to like my idea behind K1. You know, if you surround yourself with kindness and think of that, you know, first,
yes,
and foremost, mm-hmm, then you will, in essence, be kind.
Amen.
And spread that kindness to others. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one of the missions that we want to do is...
kindness is contagious.
Yes. And
it is.
Mm-hmm. And build up all these other the platforms or people who are spreading kindness. You know, give them the credit they deserve, in a sense, and give them more kind of acknowledgement. And so, like, you mentioned that whenever we met, that your focus, what you wanted to build your business up, if you want to talk about that. Like.
Yes, my focus, actually, it's a very big vision, you guys.
We said the same here.
It's so big. But ideally, what I want to do is I want to have a He Foundation. And as the business expands and it grows, I want to, as God bless me, I want to be a blessing to somebody else. And so what I want to do is, what He wants to do is, for instance, let's say you want to do a business, and the startup cost is $10,000. I want to be the one to fund that project. And all I'm asking for, all He wants is 10% to go back into the foundation. And the next person, they got a business plan, it looks profitable, we fund the business and get back to the foundation 10% what God requires. Because that's how we're going to build a kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's by loving people. And love is an act. We have to show. I just don't want to tell you that I love you. Love and love until it's given. Yeah. I love you enough and I believe in you. I want to do this. I want to bless you. Let's do it together. You're not giving me back anything. You're giving it back to God. Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to help His people. Yeah. And so that's my vision. It's to help build His kingdom here on earth. As it already is in heaven.
And that goes, I'm trying to think where I want to go with this, but kind of, I'm working on a project now that is for essentially youth, like people coming out of high school, mm-hmm, going into like what I've been through the past 5 years, trying to figure out the discernment for my life and what I want to do. Because, I mean, that whenever I dropped out of college the first time, the average time for a person in college to change their major was 6 times. I don't know what it is now, but I probably changed my major 4 or 5 times in that short. I didn't physically go change it, but my thought process changed. Because when I was starting for business school, I knew that was just where I was already just starting really in fundamentals, because most of the stuff from culinary school didn't even transfer over.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle for years, you know, trying to discern what I wanted. And in that time, I found that my true purpose was to pretty much reach out to people and show God through my life in whatever aspect that would be. But I didn't know how I was going to get there. And that ate me up for years because I was scared to make any steps because I couldn't see where it was going. And I questioned everything, like every job opportunity, everything that came to me, I questioned. I'm like, is this right? Because I could have went and worked for Kellogg's here in Jackson, which you make good money. But I was going through the interview process, and I was at the first or second interview, and I was praying to God. I said, if this is not where I'm supposed to be, do not let me get this job, because I don't want to become complacent and just be stuck here and play out a career. Because if there's more for me to do, don't allow this to happen. And I didn't get the job, so I was like, okay, so now what? And just in all that time frame of this happened, I remember there was one point, like I had everybody barking down me. It's like, you got to get a job. There was one point that I became unemployed. Like, you got to get a job. But there came a week I put in 20 job applications. I didn't get a single phone call back. And that's devastating, especially for a young man that's trying to find his way in life, and you can't get even just a basic job, you know, and... That's part of the project that I'm working on. I mean, it's going to be a book. I mean, that's what it is. And I wasn't going to really say anything about it, but it's fitting for what you're saying, because that book, what it's based on, is going to show that not everybody has to go to college. You know,
yes.
Sometimes you have this dream, like we have this dream with this podcast, and we have the dream with the other stuff that we're doing outside of it that you don't have to go to college for. and you can make a decent living, you can support your family, but a successful person is not the amount of money they have. It's that they're doing what they're called to do.
And yes,
they're
happy fulfilling their purpose.
And it's, it's a struggle, and it's hard to see, but I just get so frustrated seeing people run the rat race.
Yeah.
Yes. When there's more to life than just striving to get whatever next and whatever's new.
And it, with me, I went to school. I have a bachelor's in science and natural resource management. You know, I thought I wanted to be a game warden. But somewhere along the line, me and him, we were friends in college, or we were friends in high school.
Actually, all the way back to preschool. But yeah. That's besides the point.
And throughout college, we kind of drifted apart just because colleges were in different towns and we didn't come back home much. But it was after college, after I graduated, and, you know, he had all of his stuff going on. We reconnected. I couldn't find a job, so you were kind of working on the side. So somehow or another, we started getting this idea that we're going to work together. And my thought process behind that was, I just want to be successful enough so I can give to other people.
Yes.
I want to get my needs taken care of, but I also want to make enough to where I can easily give to other people who aren't as fortunate, who are in the same situation I was. Like, you went to college, you can't find a career choice. You know, I have student debt that I can't pay, or that I couldn't pay because I wasn't making enough money. And so if we could, that was a vision I had to get to that point to where I could be successful enough. And, you know, I'm not really caring about a big house. You know, a decent car would be our not. You know, but it was just weird through connecting back with Colin and aligning our visions together, and they're pretty much parallel. And it's just, you know, we touched to it in the first episode, but just how we build on each other, it's just impressive. And it goes back to the relationships with God. It's you know, he is a relationship person, and I credit him to kind of, and we try to bounce off each other, but keeping each other accountable. So that's another thing that's leading towards this. We're keeping each other accountable, not just with our dreams, but with our relationships. And it's just, it's impressive. It's just, it goes back to our idea of being successful. Why? It's not a selfish reason. It's for other people.
Yes, that's true.
And it goes to, like, when we first kind of aligned back together and we worked on, like, your parents' deck, and I did, like, my first actual air conditioning change out for myself and just some odd and end stuff. This was 2016.
Yeah. I graduated in 2016.
Yeah, it was 2016. It was the end of 2016, and then you started at Lowe's, and, you know, then I proposed to Madison that year and that December. And, you know, I had a lot of people, you know, kind of in my ear saying, well, you got to support her. You got to have a job with insurance and all this. So then I go and get a job with insurance and stuff like that to satisfy the needs of other people. You know, that way they had the comfort of knowing that. And it kind of goes to the point of, like, what we were doing in that time frame that we didn't realize we were doing is we were helping ourselves, because at the point we were broke. And broken in two aspects, but we were trying to get back to where we needed to go. Yes. And that allowed the time for us to work on ourselves and work on some sort of discipline. I mean, I know I fell short in the time frame of those years, but, like, that January of 2016, I started my business officially with the state and stuff like that. And
2017.
Yeah, that was 2017. Yeah. Sorry, January 2017. And I kind of worked through kind of some kinks, but I didn't really even, I maybe did 5,000 in business that year, because we were getting married and I wasn't focused on that business. I was focused on the job and make sure we got through the wedding and stuff like that. But then shortly after, well, probably a few months after the wedding, business started to slowly pick up, and then by like 7 months later, I was busy enough that I didn't need to work full time for the other company. But the concern was, you know, insurance and stuff like that. But we worked it out to an extent, and she was getting a job, and we thought we were just going to get insurance for that. So it made me comfortable enough to leave and take that jump, you know. It kind of took that off the back burner, and she got the job and stuff like that. We started working through everything, and I mean, there was some stuff that didn't go exactly as planned and all that, and like she actually lost that job right after we took out how long after was it that you lost the job temporarily? Like 2 months? Huh? So like 3 months in, I've already made this jump, this leap of faith to start my own business and striving for what I'd said I was going to do by the age of 23. I decided I was going to become a contractor at 23. And I actually changed my mind from that, but yet it still happened. It's like I spoke it into existence, just, yes. You know, and it happened. And by 23, I was out on my own doing contracting work. Wow. And I didn't even, I intended for it to happen, but I didn't intend for it to happen. It was just a strange coincidence. And we're still here, but now it's starting to add up, because I knew I surrendered my life to ministry, and I knew by 28 that I wanted to be at the point where I was speaking to people that were in the age group of where I was. Yeah. Because I felt like it, by that age, you're still relatable. You're within like a 5-year window. They can see, you know, that's not that far ahead, because most of them will probably just be out of high school for 5 years and they realize how fast that went. And it's just in that time frame, I don't know, it worked. The accountability all came through, you know, and working, stepping up to that point, taking that leap of faith. And then there's, even if once you take that leap of faith, there's going to be struggles. And that was a clear evident, I mean, within 3 months. And then I also had my appendix taken out in that same time frame, right after insurance that I had stopped paying, you know. And there's going to be things that throw you off and try to stop you from getting where you go to, but you just got to have faith.
You got to have faith.
There's been struggles, but I'm not going to say it's been easy, but it's been easier than I ever would have imagined.
Yeah.
Because I thought that it was going to be very, very difficult to do the things that I'm doing, but it's not. I think you build up this wall of fear beforehand that makes it so, you seem like you can't obtain to that point. But then if you just slowly like peck away at it each day, you'll realize that the wall is not that big.
That's right.
You have expectations that are put onto you by other people too.
Yeah.
So you know, I was in the same position. I had a full-time job. I worked for the state. I had, you know, good benefits. Just the pay wasn't good, and I was trying to support newly married. I was engaged, about to get married, and the money that I was bringing in wasn't enough to cover bills.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was like, "I'm going full-time. I need help." I said, "All right. I just need to make X amount of months. You know, X amount of dollars per month to get my bill." He said, "All right." So that's, you know, I was like, "Well, all right, here we go. What's next?" And it started building up. Well, that's when just having us, the exposure we had each day and our ideas bouncing off each other. And looking back now, it wasn't a coincidence. It was meant to be. But even all the way back, like he said, we kind of separated whenever I went to work at Lowe's and he went to work at his full-time job. We were working on ourselves. There was stuff that had to happen in our own lives before we could work on other people's lives.
Yes.
And in that time frame is when I experienced my low point, and it took that time for me to get where I needed to be, for me to get right. And through that, I've come out better on the other side.
Yes.
And I guess you have too, in the sense that the knowledge that he got through working from the other company and to help out all this, there's no doubt that any of the setbacks that you experience in your past is for a reason. And I'm sure you can attest to a lot of instances that.
Oh, definitely, man. Like I said, it's been one thing after another with me and my wife, you know. Like I said, we've been here 7 years, and it's like every time we move in one place, we gotta leave. You know, something wrong. Feel like our last place recently we was in, we had just signed a lease. We was there for 5 months. We had just got settled in, everything, all the rooms are fully furnished, comfortable, ready to just live life, you know, and boom, out of nowhere, mildew just came. And so she's like, you got to go. I'm like, go where? Where can we go? And we couldn't find another place to live because I have a dog. The one apartment complex that was relatively decent said we made too much money. So it was like, what do I do at this point? God, I'm at my end, you know? And so we moved in with my sister, not knowing that God was going to call me to Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, I was frustrated. I was angry at God. I'm like, I'm faithful. I pay my tithes. I do my offering. You know, I serve. I go to church every Sunday. Why? What is it? Why are we always having an issue with finding somewhere to live? Not knowing that he was preparing me to transition from Selma to Charlotte. You know, but at the time, I was just focused on my situation and not what God was trying to tell me and say to me. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
When you're comfortable, it's not easy to make that move. Mm. So he puts you in a time of uncomfortable circumstances. Yes. That way you can... I don't know if it makes it easier to make that jump, but it gives you a perspective that, you know, hey, I've dealt with these rough circumstances, so I can deal with the next. Like, when you're making that jump, you're like, I can deal with these next circumstances because I'm making it right now.
And even in those situations, honestly, they humbled me because the Bible said it's the humble child that tastes of his grace. And so those situations that I've experienced in life has humbled me. And now I have childlike faith that I realize that I can't do it without God. That's why one of my brands is He Did It, because everything that I went through in life, it was Him that brought me out. It wasn't my own will, my own strength, my own intellect. It was the wisdom and the knowledge and the power and the anointing of God and His grace that saved me out of every situation that I was faced with in my life. So it was Him. I have to give Him credit because I couldn't have did it without Him. I was suicidal. I felt like I'd lose my mind. I was lonely, depressed, everything. And I've been through a lot in my life, but by the grace of God, I am still standing and ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am here. I'm here, and I'm excited about my future. I'm excited about what God's getting ready to do in my life, you know.
I remember when we first spoke about in your office, and you started a question. It's like question starting your collection. And you were like, I don't know anything about this.
Exactly. I always been big on like how I look, how I present myself, you know, because I feel like when you are representing the kingdom, you have to look as such, you know. And not that I'm all like big on material things, but I just feel like as a representative of who He is, I have to represent Him well. And I always been into fashion, but not t-shirts. I was like, God, why t-shirt? Not knowing that my ultimate goal is to actually design my own clothes. You know, but you can't despise the days of small. Mm-hmm. Because when you appreciate those and you look back, you'd be like, God, I remember when you brought me from it. Started from one simple t-shirt, you know. Yep. And so my ultimate goal is to actually design my own clothing. And that's what I would do. It will happen because He spoke it.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning. This is the learning process. I'm learning what to do, what not to do. You know, so we're learning. We know nothing about t-shirt. But we're learning. So far, we learned several things: how to be consistent, disciplined, budgeting, all of that, marketing strategies. It's the learning process, exactly. You know. And so, I'm just excited about the future of He Collection.
Wow, we have a project that we're starting. It's just kind of what we were talking about, and we will have an episode about it. But we want to start a t-shirt company too, and that was kind of what was so weird is whenever we spoke and the connections that we had through that.
Yes.
And it's you know, it's the relationships. I can't remember when, but the realization that you can't do everything on your own, it and if you do put that, you're just straining yourself so bad on your relationships with other people that you just have to realize that you can't do everything on your own. And so it was weird whenever, or, you know, coincidence, whenever God put us in your office and we spoke, and the knowledge that we can, you know, share with each other about this, it happens for a reason.
I'm telling you, I went home and I'm like, guess what? I met my buddy who I hadn't seen in a while, and this time T-shirt come like, this is so crazy. And I was just so excited about it because, like, this was definitely ordained by God. Like, this day, because we hadn't talked in a while.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, as soon as we started out, was you guys tell me you started my gym. Like, come on, what are the odds?
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's God.
And we want to focus more on the printing aspect, and you're focusing on the design.
Yes.
And so that's...
if we could ever get our all of our, well, once we get all of our kinks worked out, if there's ever a way that it can all work together, that would just be kind of full circle. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen, but it's, there's no doubt about it that all that was for a reason. And then, like, we, our biggest premise is with the companies that we want to work with, our companies associated or fixed around giving back.
Yes.
That's been our biggest thing, and also just Christian companies. So whatever, and y'all fit both.
Yeah.
So it's no doubt about it that it's a God link.
Yeah. We can't deny it. It's God.
And then also, with you saying you're going to move to Charlotte, and then you've been questioning why God was keeping you there. And I remember that day in your office, you're like, this makes sense now. You know, like you're, I could see the struggle in your face because you were frustrated. Like, why am I still here? But then it finally started to click that that was part of it.
Yes.
And that it's just relieving to know that, like, even in all circumstances, when you finally start putting all the links together, it's like, he's always there.
Because I believe it was the week beforehand that we were really getting serious on starting that. And then you know, we go into, I believe we went to your office on a Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday we had someone else reach out to us who I'm trying to get, you know, secured onto the show. And it was just that week, that affirmation and all the loose ends that were tied. It was like, you know, this is happening.
Good God.
We need to do it.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love him. I'm just so excited about the reconnection with all of it, meeting you and, you know, brothers that love the Lord and love his people, you know, and want to give back. Because we live in a world that's so greedy. It's all about self, you know. And I love the concept and your vision for your brand, Kindness First, because America, man, as we see it now, it's just, it's all about greed. It's about me. You don't want to see the next man do good, but, you know. Right. And so I love the fact that we're not worried about ourselves, but we just want to give back to God's people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's all about. And he'll bless us because we're blessing his people.
Right.
And, but at the same time, it's not just his people too, because I feel the need that if in this process, if we can reach out and they can see our faith, that in some, and not all cases, but there's the chance for some cases to have that opportunity to awaken themselves to realize, you know, hey, it's not just me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a God out there. And that's one of our biggest things, too, is just to show that kindness and open that door for conversation. Yeah. We might not be the ones that cause them to have that aha moment or them to come to faith, you know, but the biggest thing is just to be that person to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's...
I'm sorry, not just his people. When I mean his people, we're all God.
I'm sorry, I took that a little out of context and wasn't thinking the full circle, but I mean, that's just like, I was talking to the pastor earlier before we came, and it's what we're talking about. He was realizing that, you know, I don't want to necessarily be that person that's up there every day just hammering, and whenever I say I'm called to minister, I don't want to be the person that's there every day just hammering into people, or every Sunday just hammering into people. Like, this is, I want to just be the person to have that spark with somebody so they can kind of see that God's there, or maybe get the question that God's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully just in the, maybe looking back at our content, or just in their everyday life, looking back and assessing their life and seeing that he's there.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that when I was 13 or 14, I was an atheist, because with the struggles that I was going through with my life and not having my father around, even though I knew he was still alive and he was a big part of my life before that, but being a boy in that transition into your teenage years and not having your father there and just all the different struggles that came with that, I thought, there's no way there's a God to allow me to go through this. Like, that's just, I didn't believe that there was a God. There was just no way. And as I got older, I realized that even that is part of my story, you know, and that he aligned all of those things for that to happen.
Yes.
And I want to be that person that can, whenever you're in that darkness, in that moment that you don't think God's there, I want to be able to just spark the conversation so they can look and see that God's there, you know? Because it's a dark time, and like you said, you had a time that you were suicidal. That was right around the time, the only time I've ever had a suicidal mentality, because I just didn't want to live. And I just want to be that light for people, whether it's just a spark or it is that transformational moment. I don't know what it will be, but I mean, I have another friend, and I just know people that have been in that situation, and that's just the biggest thing in life, is try to help them get past it, help somebody else.
Is there anything else that we missed with your collection line, or anything else you want to
talk about? I think that we discussed the majority of it. You know, it's a new brand that we're building every day.
Do you have a website?
Yes, website is hecollection.com. You can also follow us on Instagram as hecollection8. On Instagram and on Facebook is just hecollection.
Okay. And you are selling shirts currently?
Yes, we are selling shirts. We have hats, and we have unisex shirts. We have female shirts, male shirts. We have it all.
Oh, wow.
We have sets.
And I see you're representing some of your shirts
and
now.
I need to get you guys a shirt too, so sure next time I come, I bring you a shirt.
We don't have video up right now, but we are taking video for future references.
New purposes. Yeah. So.
Anything else?
I've got one little thing I want to talk about, and this, we can cut it out if we want to, or we can leave it on here. But, you know, I've had this idea that's been placed in me for years now, ever since, not long after I surrendered my life to ministry. And I've always seen that having like a group of people go to like a conference, because I could see speaking at a conference someday, but have a group of people speaking like over a 2 to 3 day period.
Mm-hmm.
And I always seen like certain people there like speaking, because with the what I see fit. And I never wanted to share this on the podcast, but I had the clarity come to me either last night or today or sometime, that the people that will be listening at these conferences most likely will not have heard of the podcast or heard of this information or whatever. But I think, like, what I seen in a sense was people around me that had stories that all intertwined, like how our stories all intertwined together, and all of us up on stage in our own segments speaking, but leaving out minor details. And then at the end, full circle, in the conclusion of the conference, everybody comes back on stage and fills in the missing pieces. And they see that God linked these people together for a reason.
Wow.
And that God puts these people in your life for a reason. And that you might feel down and out or not have your purpose, but realize that God has some of the people around you that you might not understand that are there to help you, guide you, and be a part of your mission and your purpose in life. And even though you don't see it. And then I was talking to my neighbor a while back, and he's actually he's a ghostwriter for the book I'm working, or not ghostwriter, but the writing coach. He's going to be a writing coach for the book I'm working on. And we were talking, because we talk about faith too. He said, maybe the people that you thought were supposed to be in it are just placeholders for the people that are really supposed to be there. And I thought, you know, maybe someday, speaking at a conference, even if you're in Charlotte, you could come in and we could, you know, work on something like that, and we could speak at an event for a weekend or something like that. And I could see Taylor's story being part of that. I could see yours, and I got another friend that someday later on his might be part of it. But I think that that could have an accountability factor, but then it could also have a very impactful message behind it. You know, and I think it could hold us all accountable to know that we stay on purpose, you know, and someday if we choose to do that and speak at something like that, that could be very influential. And then that goes, I mean, like another thing that clicked with me with that is most of those people have either books, they always have shirts set up at their booths at their conferences, you know, and we're all making shirts, and just there's so many things that go together that it could all tie into that someday. So I wanted to.
And I love that. I would love to be a part of that. I would love to.
I love hearing you speak.
Yeah. The way that you speak, and then just your passion and your energy and your uncanny knowledge for the Bible, that you just pull it out, you know, and just speak it. It's like I was saying earlier, it's something I strive for. And that's once my neighbor said that maybe they're just placeholders, and then it just clicked. I'm like, Chris.
Wow.
You know? And I've been wanting to tell you that, but I don't know if I've mentioned that to you or not, but I knew that, I mean, if I even put it on here, whether we leave it in there or not, you know, if you're fine with it being in there, that's fine.
I'm fine with it. I'm here, you guys. I'm 100% supporting you guys. I love your vision. I love what you're trying to do. It's an honor to be a part of it. It really is.
And same with you.
It's an honor.
So, thank you guys for listening. This has been our second episode of Charitable Hearts with Chris. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Colin.
And we'll see you next time.
Love you guys.